Stormy Woods, and she's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning, it's Tuesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Garden Line. Got a special guest in the studio in addition to our special host, Mike Wiggins. We have Skip Vogelsang here with us, and you're going to know why in just a minute. But that song was his selection. He said, I want to hear a little Jackson Brown this morning, and as soon as it started playing, Skip's over here grooving in front of the microphone.
We're going to talk about Skip in a minute. But Skip knows all those great groups because he goes all over the country to hear them. He just said he just went to the America concert.
I saw them here when they were here. It was great. Yeah.
And he saw Jackson Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you say,
it's the best.
Oh, yeah.
The Eagles in the Sphere.
Oh, have you been to the Sphere?
You went to the Sphere?
Oh, that's on my wish list.
Yeah.
Did you see the Eagles there?
Yeah. That's incredible.
I'm so jealous. Wow. I'm so jealous.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You look on the weekend, you say, where's Skip this weekend?
And yeah.
He's off, you know, watching some
great. Well, if you ever need anybody to carry your bags, just let me know. I'm a concert goer from way back.
Absolutely. What we need to do is say, of course, this is kind of a special edition of the Garden Line with Skip in the studio with us.
It's an annual tradition now, isn't it?
Just in case there's somebody out there that doesn't know Skip, just a few words. Skip, of course, is the camellia expert in Pensacola, in my opinion. He does that. It's a hobby for him, and he does unbelievable work with the Camellia Club and wins all kind of awards all over the Southeast. But if you back up a couple of steps, you have to remember that Skip was in charge of the entire YMCA organization here in Northwest Florida in his career.
For many years,
right? Many years, and has been active in so many nonprofits. Habitat for Humanity comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's just done a great job on that. I told Skip the last time he was on here, I said, I'm just going to make it a couple of words. And Skip Vogelsang is kind of a renaissance man. He really is.
Rock and roll, flowers.
What a great life.
I don't know, some people would say that was a hippie, but I don't know. Maybe the rock and
what
roll
do you think,
flowers.
Skip? Is he a hippie? I like it.
I'm still wearing tie-dye shirts.
See? I told you. I got your number, buddy.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
Skip is here. I do want to say one thing. We always like Skip, before we get to the Camellia Show and all of that, talk about the weather we had over the weekend.
Yes.
Let me tell you, it was, of course, I'm afraid it got in the way of a lot of activities, but a long, slow rain like that this time of the year is absolutely fabulous for everything, all our plants, be it vegetables, be it lawns, be it foundation plants in your landscape. That kind of rain is really, really good.
I could tell because the flowers up front look like they've just... Yeah, come alive.
The sink was out there, absolutely. But anyway, so it was good to have that. It's going to get cold. We're going to get down into the 30s again. Exactly. Meg's got her cold weather gear on this morning. But that's okay. It's that time of year. But the rain was really, really good for us. And here we are, middle of December. It's time for the Camellia Show. And with that, I'm going to say, here's Skip. Skip, tell us about the show.
Yay.
Well, first, I hear you've been hyping this for weeks.
Yes.
And,
it's true.
It puts a lot of pressure on me.
Aw, yeah.
Every year when I do this, we talk about the fact that we're on radio, not TV, and trying to verbally describe the flower without you being able to see it is a real challenge.
That's true.
But you're the best at it, Skip. We've done this for years, and it works. I get stopped in the grocery store. I say, when is Skip coming on your radio show? I say, well, you know, he's going to be here today, so here we go. Anyway. Let's do talk about the Camellia Show because it is a big one. It is a big event put on by the Pensacola Camellia Club.
The Camellia Show, the annual Camellia Show that the club puts on is how I got started. My wife, when we bought our house over 30 years ago, a man had befriended me who was a retired YMCA director, and he befriended me, and he was a camellia grower. And when we bought the house, he gave me three camellias in small 3-gallon pots, and we put them in the yard. We had no idea what they were. I grew up in Kentucky. Diane grew up in Birmingham. I didn't know what a camellia was. And every once in a while, they'd bloom. My wife saw in the paper that there was a show coming up. She says, we should go down and learn how to take better care of the these camellias. And I didn't want to go. I just, I had this vision of getting there, and there was going to be a bunch of little old ladies with on the little card tables with little cups with flowers. And I said, please don't make me do this. And instead, we got to the right place down at First Methodist Church, the gymnasium there. And the entire gymnasium was lined with 8-foot folding tables, row after row after row, with close to 2,000 blooms.
Wow.
Our show is one of the biggest shows in the entire Southeast. And we bring in exhibitors, come in from 5 different states, bring in their flowers to compete in the flower show. It's pretty special. And I got there and was flabbergasted, just walking through those rows. And so in 5 years, I went from 3 camellias to 250 camellias.
Wow.
I have some obsessive compulsive tendencies, and I got hooked. The first person that met us at the door when we came in was Judge Roger Vinson. Everybody knows Roger, who we lost just a couple of years ago. He was the chairman of the show, and he was a camellia nut. His property had an incredible collection. And he met us, walked us through, explained it to us. And long story short, I got hooked, and my wife still regrets taking me to that show. But the show is coming up this coming Saturday. It's at the University of West Florida at their conference center. You're probably thinking, how in the heck do I find that place in UWF and that whole campus? And it'll be easy. We have camellia elves that come out early in the morning and put up signage. And so from the time you get to whatever entrance you come into UWF, there will be signs to the camellia show. Take you right to the convention center and conference center. And
what time is the show?
Well, the morning is all the exhibitors bringing their blooms in, taking them out of their cases like I have here, and putting them in individual cups and placing them for judging of the show. And that happens throughout the morning. Late morning, bloom entry ends, and the judging begins. Groups of judges go through and give blue ribbons and decide on what flowers not only deserve a blue ribbon, but deserve consideration for higher honors. And hopefully by 1 o'clock, all of the judging is done, all of the winning blooms are placed in the awards table, and we open to the public. So essentially, think of it in terms of from 1 to 4 p.m., however, there's also, it's not just a show, it's a sale. We support our club selling camellias, and there will be at least 100 different varieties of camellias for sale.
Wow.
At the show starting about 9 o'clock in the morning. So you could come and buy camellias, but you can't get in to see the flowers and the winning blooms until about 1 o'clock. But these are varieties that you don't get at Lowe's and Home Depot. These are some really, really good collectible varieties of camellias.
Okay. Right.
Skip, when you start thinking,
we got to take a quick break.
Let's take a break. Then
so essentially, for folks that want to just come and look, would be from 1 to 4, is that correct?
1 to 4,
okay.
That's correct.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. So much to talk about. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line, 850-437-1620. Right off the bat, we got a question. Is this Saturday? So can we review exactly when and where and the times for folks that want to come see it?
Yep, this coming Saturday at University of West Florida Conference Center, open to the public from 1 to 4, sales from 9 to 4.
Perfect.
And we've talked about Skip being the expert camellia grower, which he is, and there are so many experts here in Pensacola, or really all throughout the Southeast, but you don't need to be a camellia growing expert to enjoy the Camellia Show for various reasons. One, you've got these great plants, quality plants for sale, okay? And two, you may have a multitude of questions as to how to plant them, where to plant them, et cetera, et cetera. And there are people there that can help you, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then it's the club itself. A lot of people don't realize our club has close to 300 members.
Wow.
And until somebody proves us wrong, we believe that we are the oldest camellia club in the United States. We predate the American Camellia Society, 1937.
Right. Wow.
And so we were kind of, well, to be a member, it has some requirements. It's the membership is pretty steep. It's $10 a year.
Oh, say it in so.
But yeah. It's at our club meetings where you really see programs about
right.
camellia propagation and cultivation and have a chance to ask lots and lots of questions.
Right. But, so a beginner like me could go and have fun and learn something?
That's where we get our new members. They come to the show and decide that they're going to invest $10 and start coming to meetings. That's how I started.
Absolutely. Skip, what we need to do, we've got a couple of text questions over here.
Want to go through those real quick?
Let's go through those. And then I've got just more questions than I'll never get to ask you.
Well, we had a couple of people that had waited from last week, I think, to text you this week because we had so many last week. So
exactly.
We'll get right to it. Casey texted in for you. He says, hey, Mike, is it too late this year to lay soja sod?
I'm going to say no, it's not too late. Matter of fact, I was working with a good friend of mine. I like to do it in the spring. I just like it when the soja grass is green and you can see the quality of grass that you're getting. And that's just my favorite time to do it. But all the sod guys will tell you, oh, no, you can do it right now. Now, the sod is going to be, if not totally dormant, approaching dormancy because of just the time of year. And as we all know, zoysia grass kind of goes into dormancy a little earlier than, say, St. Augustine and centipede, and it comes out a little later. That's one of the few minor disadvantages of zoysia. But I would do it if I wasn't in a hurry to get it done. If it was me, I'd wait till spring. But I think you'll be okay if you do it now.
Does he need to wait until this week is over and it's in the 30s? Does that matter?
Oh, I don't think so at this point. No, okay. I don't think so. I think you could go ahead and do it. Oh, yeah, you talk to the sod guys. They say, oh, no, we can do it.
But okay.
I really like to kind of wait. What else you got, Meg?
Okay, got another question here. I have two oak trees about 8 feet apart from each other. The ground on the base is bare, and when I try and plant anything, it dies. The ground is very airy and full of small roots. What can I do to make plants grow?
That's hard to do. That is very hard to do. I'll be honest with you, I've got the same thing. Skip, you know that big oak tree I've got in my yard, and I don't even attempt to plant anything around it. I simply put a pine straw bed around it and keep the pine straw kind of tucked under so it's, you know, has a nice edge to it. And I go with that because if you have a large live oak tree, planting with all those roots is going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, there's really two issues. One is it's just so much shade that so many plants don't get enough sun under the tree.
Right.
And secondly, it took me a while to learn this one, but an oak tree doesn't just have big roots. It has these little tiny
filament
roots. That's what they're talking about. Yeah,
that's
exactly
right.
That are thick, and they choke out a lot of other plants.
Right. One other thing that you might consider is, this is some construction, is build you a bed around it and backfill it with some good soil. Now, what you don't want to do is to put that soil going up the trunk of the oak tree. So you're going to have to kind of level it so it kind of approaches the bottom of the oak tree. And then Skip's absolutely right. You know, we could go through, and we have on the garden line before, some of the plants that do well in the shade. Impatiens, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They would do very good, very well there. But that's a lot of trouble. I think a nice, tasteful pine straw bed. Go over to our good friends at Skip, I don't know if you've met these folks. You ever gone to Lucky's Pine Straw?
No.
Lucky's is right down the street from Bailey's.
Oh, okay.
Farmer's Market, just south of that on the west side of the road. And they are brand new here. All over the south, they sell these big bales of really quality pine straw. Anyway.
Okay, well, we got to take a quick break again. We're here this morning on the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins and special guest Skip Vogelsang talking about camellias and answering your questions. So if you've got a gardening question, text it in, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. And we're back with the Pep Talk, Pensacola's experts panel, and the Garden Line.
Right, and we're here with Skip Vogelsang, who's telling us all about the Camellia Show and just all about, a little, I say all about, we don't have time to do all about, but how to grow camellias and why they do well in Pensacola. Skip, take it away from there.
I get that question a lot. Why camellias? And the answers are a few. One, and probably the most important to me, is they're easy. They naturally love our soil, which tends to be sandy and well-drained. They love the fact that it's slightly acidic naturally without any additives. One of my favorite reasons is they bloom in the winter when nothing else is blooming, and they bloom prolifically. And so you've got, and actually camellias have blooming seasons. There are some that we call early bloomers starting in November, like the Sasanquas, and then the Japonicas, some early ones in December. But they bloom right on through March. And so if you get a variety that are early, mid, and late season bloomers, you've got camellias flowers blooming all through the winter. But I'll go back to they're darn easy. They're hard to hurt. They're literally hard to hurt. And that works for me because I've killed more orchids in my lifetime than I can keep count of. But it's hard to kill a camellia.
Yeah, Skip, everything you read about camellias says if you're planting one, say you buy one of the plants at the show,
3-gallon
take
pot.
It home. It still likes a little more organic soil than we have here in Pensacola. I've always recommended here on the Garden Line a little bit of Canadian sphagnum peat moss in the hole. What do you think about that?
Well, I do hedge my bets when I'm putting in a new camellia. I try to amend the soil a little bit with some tree or shrub soil that you can get at Lowe's or Home Depot. But the reality is that's just to get them started. Ultimately, they're going to have to adjust to the soil that you've got.
Right.
And they do.
Right. And one of the keys that you just said it a minute ago is that we have acidic soil here in Pensacola. So plants that like acid soil, like camellias, azaleas, gardenias, plants like that find a home here and do very, very well. I always say that's why we've got Bellingraph Gardens over in Mobile, because they plant so many azaleas and camellias that do well in our native soil, no doubt about it. Skip, I got to say one quick thing. I think I've got about 10 seconds. Congratulations on your victory and all the awards you won over in the New Orleans Camellia Show last week.
I had a real good show last Saturday. Yeah.
Great, congratulations.
You sent me some pictures. Unbelievable. But congratulations. You got to build that annex on your house for all your awards.
I'm not allowed to bring them home anymore. I just give them back to the club they give them to somebody else.
We'll be back with Skip and Mike on the Garden Line right after the news. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. We are here this morning with Mike Wiggins, who is our host every week, and a special guest, just in time for the Camellia Show. Skip Vogelsang is here with us. And we did have a quick question right off the bat, guys. But go ahead. Mike's got his. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we really need to, in case someone's tuning in late, the who, what, when, where, and how on the show.
Yeah, in case you just tuned in, our annual Camellia Show is this coming Saturday at the University of West Florida Conference Center. There is great signage as soon as you get to the entrance that'll guide you right to the conference center. Open to the public for the flowers to see the winning blooms and over 1,000 blooms from 5 different states from 1 to 4. But we also have a sale of camellias that you can't get at Lowe's and Home Depot starting about 9 o'clock till 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
And we got a question about the show, so I'm going to throw that in right now. This came in on our text line. Let's see. Will these varieties available at the show adjust to a sandy soil? I'm very close to Bayou Davenport.
Yes, that's my yard is sandy soil right off of Scenic Highway. And, yeah, camellias love a well-drained soil. We talked about, you know, what do you have to do to grow good camellias? And as I said, they're hard to hurt. But they, well, East Hill, North Hill are great examples of the fact that, you know, there's 100-year-old camellias growing in people's yards, and they don't do a darn thing special to them. They just do okay. Now, that said, it wouldn't hurt to have a little fertilizer in the spring. And so most of us in the club, do amend with some good fertilizer in the springtime, March, April, high nitrogen, about, usually about a 16. They've got the three numbers, 16.
1608 is one a lot of people have because they use that on their lawn.
Yeah, zero is not that important
exactly.
because it's natural
exactly.
and stays in the soil. So high nitrogen fertilizer in the spring, and that's about it.
Well, we've got we'll interrupt you just for a sec, because we've got two questions related to this that just came in on the text line. So the first one, is it too late to put the pre-emergent out? And second, am I too late to winterize? And if not, what should I put out?
I wouldn't do either one. I think we're a little late for the pre-emergent. I would wait till middle of February and do it then. And winterizer, oh yeah, I think, you know, we shot for late August and September was the ideal time for that. So I just, you know, I don't think it would hurt anything, but kind of waste of money, really, to go out and do it.
I agree with you. And I would also add one more thing on fertilizer. I've seen people make the mistake of using weed and feed. And weed and feed is great for lawns, but it's not good for camellias. The stuff that kills the weeds kills camellias.
Yeah. You and I never disagree on anything, Skip, except that. It's not good for lawns either.
Well, it may be. All I know is camellias.
He's talked about that quite a bit.
And those lawns, it's just got the wrong formula for the time of year. You need to do your weed killing one time, fertilizer the other. Yeah, exactly. Okay, I've got to go here, Skip. It's going to take me just a minute. I got a nice text from Catherine.
Oh, we love Catherine. Good morning, Catherine.
And Catherine wanted to know if you're going to have a container, a box, or what have you for the toys for tots at the show.
Yes, absolutely. That we've actually stopped giving material awards for the winning blooms, and instead we ask people to make donations for toys. The Marine Corps, shows up and picks them all up. So, if you could bring a toy to the show, the Marines will be
good.
There to
okay.
pick them up.
That would be great. Okay, now here's what let's do. And we really need an hour to do this.
I know.
But we've got a little bit of time. Skip is going to do his thing, which we wait for every year. He's brought these gorgeous blooms, two huge boxes, and is going to go through and describe them and tell us a little bit about them. So, Skip,
all right,
you're on.
So when I went to my first camellia show, the thing that grabbed me was the variety of camellias. When I say to you a rose, you get immediately a vision in your head of what a rose looks like. It might be pink, might be red, might be white, but you know what that rose looks like. Not with camellias. Camellias come in five different forms: semi-doubles, formal doubles, anemones, singles, and there's one other one I'm forgetting. At any rate, none of them look alike. So, and they vary in size. A rose is a rose is a rose. But a camellia, we have five different sizes. Miniatures, which are 2 inches or under. Smalls. Mediums, which are 3 to 4 inches. Larges, which are 4 to 5 inches. And very large. So you can have a bloom. I'm going to pull one out here. This one actually is one that I won with last Saturday in Slidell. It's called Francis Council, and it's a miniature. It's 2 inches or less across, and then you've got
Skip. That is a camellia versus a cisanqua.
This is
even
a
though it's got that
this
small.
This is a japonica.
It's got that small bloom.
Right.
This
it's
is
white.
A japonica.
It's beautiful. Solid white.
Oh yeah.
And it's a formal double. There's no stamen in the middle. Just perfectly symmetrical. And then you've got this one, which is called Royal Velvet Variegated,
they couldn't
which
be,
is a large.
They're so different.
And they're completely
different.
Completely
different.
This one is a semi-double with two rows of petals and then a big boss of yellow stamen in the middle.
Beautiful and red and white and kind of pink coloring.
Yeah, I was going to say, go color on that.
Yes,
red.
The color's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
Well,
yeah.
The original Royal Velvet was just red.
Uh-huh.
And then when you add a virus to it, it puts the white in there, and but it's amazing to think that those are both under the umbrella, not just of camellias, but the same species of camellias. They're both japonicas.
That is amazing.
So that's what grabbed me. There's so many different
sure.
forms, whites, pinks, reds. We have yet to get a blue camellia. If I ever develop a blue camellia, I will be famous all
It'll
over the world.
It'll be an award winner, no doubt.
If you do some propagation on your camellias also, do you not?
Yeah. When I add a new camellia to my collection, it's one that's just been developed and just been registered with the American Camellia Society. That I think I love that flower and I can win in shows with it. But I can't go buy one because there's only a half dozen of them in the world. So I have to find somebody or the person who registered it and ask him to send me some cuttings, 3-4 inch cuttings, and then I graft those to another camellia. I use the roots of one camellia and graft it on top. But that's how I get new camellias.
That's fascinating. Absolutely. What else have we got? We got a ton of them over there.
This is what I really like. It's a heritage camellia. This one was registered. Well, they can track its history back. It's called Bello Romano. They can track its history back to the middle 1800s. And it's a it's a red and pink and white frilly kind of a thing that still shows a lot of stamen in the middle. But it's just a complicated semi-double.
It looks like a festive flower, like a happy flower.
and that's one that has been around since the middle 1800s.
What's the name of it, Skip?
Bello Romano.
Bello Romano.
And with that thought, we've got to take a quick break. Fascinating stuff. I'm so sorry, but we've got to do it. This is Pep Talk, The Garden Line. If you've got questions for Skip, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. A special day on The Garden Line as we talk all about camellias with Skip Vogelsang and our host, Mike Wiggins. The Big Camellia Show is this weekend at UWF Conference Center, 1 to 4, open to the public, 9 to 4 if you want to purchase some camellias. But I got to tell you guys, this may be the funniest text of the day. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We've been talking about camellias and the style and how to grow them and all that stuff. And someone texted in, long live with big capital letters and exclamation points, rock gardens.
And you don't even need to fertilize.
Rock gardens.
Or water.
Or water. Amen, brother.
Whatever.
Talk about hard to hurt.
Exactly. Yeah, that's probably a golfer. Somebody.
Well, he gardens. It's Michael. He sends in questions every week. So. But go ahead. We got to get back to the community.
Yeah, go skip.
I don't want us to interfere.
Well, this next one I'm going to talk about is one that, if I had this at the show last weekend, I would have won with this. It's called Something Beautiful. And it's a small, just over 2 inches, a formal double, which means it's just row after row after row of petals that stack up on top of each other. Mm. And the background is white, but the outer edge of every petal is kind of a fuchsia.
It's beautiful.
And thus you see what a pointed, incurved petal looks like. It's hard to describe. But each petal curves to the inside and has a tip on the end of it with a fuchsia tip. Mm. And it is just a gorgeous flower that it's a show winner.
It's beautiful.
You look at one like that, you just say, Mother Nature is amazing. Mm.
Gosh,
just
yes.
amazing what is out there.
When you take the time to smell the roses and look at the camellias.
Absolutely.
This is another one I love to talk about. It's called Tama Peacock. and it's a semi-double, a small, and it is a seedling of a variety called Tamanoura. Tamanoura was discovered in the mountains, I can't remember what country in Asia, a few decades ago. There were guys up on the mountainside making charcoal, and they came upon this plant, this camellia that had this flower. And the thing about the Tamanoura was that it's the inside of the petal is red and the outer edge of every petal is white. And so it looks like somebody took a paintbrush and did a white edge on every one.
It looks a little bit like an iris to me, the way the colors are on the center of the petal.
Well, right. Tamanoura is a single, just one row of petals, red with white edge, but it produces lots of seeds. And so people grow the seeds, and you never know where the pollen from, you know the mother plant because it produces seeds. You don't know who the daddy is. And so it's like Forrest Gump. It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
So many things I can say right
and
now.
What you get, one of them is this Tama peacock, which is a semi-double that has the same characteristics with the red center and white edge, but it's a semi-double, and it's just a gorgeous little flower. And
let me state the obvious here. If you wanted to propagate that one and you have another one just like that, you would have to graft it. You wouldn't use the seed because you don't know what the seed is.
Right.
If I've got a plant like this,
then I can make more of them by taking a cutting from it and grafting it, or I can do what they call air layer. Air layering is long explanation here. You take a whole branch. And peel the bark off of a section of it, wrap it with moss, and wait 6 months, and it'll start rooting into that ball of moss, and the whole branch becomes another plant.
Skip and I did that on television years ago.
Really?
Remember that, Skip? You demonstrated the air layering, which is really fascinating how that works.
Skip, do you have a website or a Facebook page where you post photos of your flowers? For example, the show that you were at last week where you won all the awards?
Facebook.
Okay, so if we look up Skip.
Pensacola Camellia Club, or look me up. There's also a Facebook page, Camellias of the South.
Oh, great.
And worldwide camellias. Just do a search on Facebook of camellias, and you'll come up with three or four really great Facebook pages that have photo after photo.
Well, I don't know if you have time, but I would love for you to post, if you can post pictures of these flowers that you've talked about today, then our listeners can go and take a look at them.
Sure.
Because it's beautiful.
Sure.
Okay, got a couple minutes left here on this segment. So
I have to ask you about one, Skip, because I was at a Christmas event last night, and one of the friends of our show said, Mike, my seafoam is really gorgeous right now. What does a seafoam look like?
Seafoam,
you got one.
It's a formal double, so it's a solid white. It's larger. It's a large, so it's about 4 to 5 inches in diameter, and it has pointed incurved petals, and it's just. It looks so perfect that you think it can't be real. It's a beautiful white formal double.
Very good. Well, we got a few more. We have just a few minutes more.
Here's one that this is one of my personal favorites. It's an oddball. It's a hybrid, and by hybrid it means that some hybridizer did a controlled cross-pollination. They took one variety, pollinated flowers on that variety from a different variety, and so it's a cross between two different species of camellias, and it's now I'm trying to remember the name of it. Fallen Angel. This one's called Fallen Angel. It's a single with frilly white petals, one row circle of white but it also produces some pink and fuchsia on the outer edges and has this big boss of beautiful yellow in the middle. It looks like, if you think of a fried egg, that's exactly what it looks like.
No,
it's white.
It's gorgeous.
Completely white on the outside with this big yellow center.
Yeah, but the color on the outside of the skip is so faint.
Yeah.
It's just,
okay, we've got to take a quick break. We will be back with the Garden Line talking about camellias today on Pep Talk. We'll be right back.
Skip, it is great having you on the radio with us. It's fun every year, and I appreciate you coming. I really, really do. Two quick things. One more shot at who, what, where, when, and how on the show, but also how close the show is to the Camellia Garden at UWF. You can't walk it,
right?
But it is on the campus. Real quick, hit those two things real quick.
Okay. Again, the reminder on the show, open to the public from 1 to 4. There'll be over 1,000 blooms from 5 states. The sale from 9 to 4 at the Conference Center at the University of West Florida. There'll be lots of signs along the road to get you there.
This Saturday.
Our garden out there is a cooperative effort with the University of West Florida. They have provided us space for a permanent camellia garden that its primary purpose is to have a specimen of every camellia that has been registered with the American Camellia Society, grown by a Pensacola hobbyist since the 40s.
That is so cool.
And we've identified about 120 Pensacola varieties, and we have about 100 of them. There's 20 that were registered in the 40s, 50s, 60s that they're just lost. We'll never find a specimen of them. But the garden is pretty special. We have about 150 different varieties out there.
That is really, really cool. Skip, when someone comes to the show and is really a novice, you do have folks there that can work with them and help them pick out the variety in the ones you have for sale.
Absolutely. And
the ones that are really going to thrive.
And the ones for sale, they will all have a tag with a photo. Even if they're not blooming, they will have a photo of what that looks like. And often you can walk into the show and see that variety for real and know what it looks like before you buy it.
You're the best, Skip. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Skip, for coming in. Thank you, Mike, for hosting the Garden Line. You can hear this broadcast again. Go to Garden Line on newsradio923.com.
See you
we'll
next
be back.
Year.